All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Volunteer Country on SI podcast today. We're podcasting on Wednesday, June the 1st, new month in 2022. I'm excited to get June started. Today, I got Matt Ray with me, and we are doing a little special podcast today, a mailbag podcast, answering questions from all our fans via Twitter, Facebook, DMs, anything you want, but more importantly, from our premium Discord, which I'll kick it over to Matt to tell you guys a little bit more about that before we get started here.
Yeah, so if you guys haven't already, check out our premium Discord. You can sign up through Patreon. It takes you straight to the link. If you don't know how to do any of that, reach out to any of us. We'll get you set up. We're always talking Tennessee football, Tennessee recruiting, really anything Tennessee athletics in general over there. Have a great conversation going usually by the time I wake up and well past the time I go to bed. But great group of guys are always in there chatting and talking about what's going on, what's coming next. And we're in there offering feedback from what we're seeing as we're on the road, trying to answer any questions that we can. It's $3 a month, no month-to-month commitment. So if you don't like it the first month, we appreciate you checking us out. More than welcome to cancel, but no long-term commitment with it. $3 to check us out. I don't think you'll be disappointed. So we took a lot of questions from the Discord this week. So ready to jump into that with Jack.
Absolutely. And before we do so, I do want to tell all of you guys that we are sponsored by Acker Travel Company by Dream Vacations. If you're looking to book travel at any time this summer, but don't want to do all that monotonous work, just be sure and contact our friends Beth and Price at Acker Travel Company so that they can do all the work for you. Acker Travel Company is currently sending you a $50 Visa gift card to book with them. I mean, what is there to lose? Go ahead and give them a call now and find that dream vacation. All right, Matt, so let's get started. We're going to take a question from Twitter, actually, to kick this thing off. Pretty team-central question, even though a lot of ours are going to be about recruiting today, so I know both of us can speak to this one. So let's get it started with offensive and defensive breakout player for this season. Let's start with offense. Matt, who you got?
Yeah, I think for me it's a fairly simple answer here. It's a guy that has had a lot of buzz around his name each offseason that he's been on Rocky Top. But heading into year three, it feels different for Jalen Hyatt. That has continued to improve his weight, which has always been a big concern for him. He's up to a really, really healthy playing weight right now. Going to go into the season with that, hopefully. Had a huge spring. Coaches raved about him. And then he's continued to become a leader in the locker room. Tennessee lost veteran leadership as well as veteran production last fall with Javonte Payton and Valus Jones leaving the program due to eligibility. Valus obviously getting drafted. Javonte signing with an NFL team. So a lot of experience and production are placed there for Tennessee, and they're going to turn to Jalen Hyatt to do that alongside Cedric Tillman and likely Brew McCoy and a combination of guys behind them like Ramel Keaton, Walker Merrill, and Jimmy Callaway, and then that talented duo and trio of freshmen coming in. So Jalen Hyatt improved himself in the weight room, improved himself as a locker room leader, and then it all translated in the spring. He's getting ready for what I think will be a big fall for him. I think he's Hendon Hooker's number two target. Have only continued to hear positive things about the rapport that those two have built, timing, chemistry, working on all those things very hard this offseason, spent a lot of time together. Teams are going to try to take Cedric Tillman away. There's a lot to be excited about for a guy like Prue McCoy coming in, but for me right now, the familiarity between Hendon Hooker and Jalen Hyatt leads me to think that Jalen Hyatt's the breakout player. When you kind of look at how this offense is set up, you've got four returning starters on the offensive line. We're going to have a tackle battle, in fall camp. The running back rotation's fairly set. So I think to look in terms of a true breakout player, you have to look at that number two receiver spot behind Cedric Tillman, and I think that will be Jalen Hyatt this fall.
No, I completely agree with you there. I mean, we saw Cedric Tillman be the definition of a breakout player last season in this Josh Heupel offense. So it makes sense that it'll be a wide out. Like you said, the running back rotation is pretty much set. I don't see many surprises happening there. So I definitely agree with you there with Jalen Hyatt. A lot of positive things coming from the offseason for him. Now let's get to defense. Who is your defensive breakout player of the season?
Well, I think defense is a little bit trickier when you look at it because you've got guys that didn't practice this spring. Tennessee held them out to be extra cautious, like Kamal Haddon and Brandon Turnage, who you have to think are going to play a big role for this defense. You got Juwan Mitchell, who his season was cut short last fall. He had, promising chatter around him coming into the 2021 season. Where will he slot back into for this defense? You've got Matthew Butler gone, Caleb Tremblay gone, Alante Taylor gone, Theo Jackson gone. So you got a lot of moving parts inside this defense. But for me, I'll go with the guy that I think probably has the most potential. You can easily go Byron Young, but I think Byron Young is what's on everybody's mind in this defense. Yeah. And I think he can really take another big step forward. I think Byron Young played really good football last year. So in terms of a true breakout player, I think we'll see something from Amari Thomas this fall. He's continued to get his weight to where he needs it to be. He's continued to get, you know, better inside of this defense and under Rodney Garner's instruction. I think from a physical standpoint, he may be one of the most physically gifted players on this defense, not just in deep, not the defensive line, the entire defense. And if you're Tennessee, I think you need it to be Omari Thomas. If you can have Tyler Barron, Byron Young, and that group of younger guys coming after the passer from the edge, and you can get a disruptive force in the middle, then your defense is going to be that much better across the board. It's going to alleviate problems for the secondary. It's going to allow those linebackers to run free, not have to suck up as much in a gap, and then teams can't pop it right over the top of them. So for me, I think it's Omari Thomas. I think for Tennessee, you hope it's Omari Thomas. I just think the guy has a very high ceiling once he gets there, and we've only continued to hear positive things about him coming out of the spring.
Yeah, totally. I completely agree with that as well. I mean, you know, losing Matt Butler, I feel like Omari Thomas had learned so much from Butler that he could be the Matthew Butler of this defense. You know, obviously he's not going to have that type of leadership as he's not as old, but yeah, I really see a big season coming from Omari Thomas as well as Byron Young, which, like you said, everyone is going to see coming. So exciting stuff from the Tennessee defensive line there. All right, let's keep this train rolling. Gonna go to our next question here. All right, so talking about all these recruits and all these visits going on this offseason, a heck of a weekend this past weekend for Josh Heupel's program and the recruiting department. You've been on top of it. You've, you know, talked to all these guys about their visits. Who do you think was the most impressed by their visit and why?
Yeah, great question coming from my guy Nathaniel Paris over in the Premium Discord. And a tough question at that, because, man, coming out of this weekend, so many guys raved about what Tennessee showed them. Talked to big-time offensive lineman Francis Malioa, Lucas Simmons. Both those guys really impressed with the visit. Tamarion Parker comes out saying Tennessee's on top. Talked to Hunter Osborne last night. He says Tennessee's pretty high. He's not willing to name a leader, but you know, we felt like the Vols are maybe the team to beat there in that recruitment. Just a handful of guys like Stanton Ramil. He got in late, but Tennessee was still able to show him a lot of attention. He was really impressed coming back for an official visit. For me, I think honestly, I'll probably honestly go with Francis just because of the fact that he was here for so long and had a chance to see everything. It was almost, you know, an official visit in an unofficial, you know, it was an unofficial visit, but it almost translated to an official visit for the time frame that he was here, what he was able to see, who he was able to be around, you know, that type of thing. Obviously, you can do certain things on an official that you can on the unofficial, so he was not participating in any of that, but still to be around those top targets, to have that FaceTime with the coaches, to get a chance to see Knoxville, to interact with fans, to do all that stuff. I think Francis Malioa, I think for him, that was very important for this weekend. It was very important for Tennessee to get him there. He's going to release his top five in the next 3 days. So if you're Tennessee, you have to think you position very well to be in that. He's told us publicly at SI that Alabama, USC, and Miami are all in that. They're all getting an official visit. They've been in that recruitment for a long time. Tennessee's the new team on the block in this recruitment, but that doesn't mean that they're down at the bottom. They have kind of hit, you know, at a high rate in every aspect of this recruitment. So for me, I think it's Francis just because he was able to see so much. There were a lot of questions that he wanted to ask and they were able to answer.
Yeah, he's definitely a big target for Tennessee. And Nico mentioned him at the Elite 11 as one of the guys he was going to try to recruit. Did you see any of that this past weekend?
Oh yeah, they spent a tremendous amount of time together this weekend. I mean, it was, they were kind of, you know, joined at the hip a lot. They were together during the recruiting events, that type of thing. Nico, you know, obviously he's the only quarterback here other than Madden, his little brother. So for the, I thought this was, you know, pretty smart, pretty wise for him. We see NFL, you know, quarterbacks buying, you know, their offensive line things and hanging out with them because they protected them so well from the year before. So Tennessee has a scavenger hunt on Saturday, and Nico's the only quarterback here. It's broke down by position group. So what does he do? He goes and helps the offensive line and hangs out with those guys, those big guys that are going to be protecting them. I thought that was, you know, pretty smart on his part. But he got to spend a lot of time with Francis, and those two guys have a really strong connection.
Yeah, we definitely know how strong of a recruiting tool Nico Iamaleava has been for Tennessee already and probably will continue to be trying to bolster this 23 class. All right, Matt, let's move on. Question about some JUCO guys. Thoughts on a JUCO class of Jefferson, Davis, Whitson, Benson? You know, he says, seems like with the roster turnover coming after the season, coupled with two classes that are more talented overall, the players leaving, having this JUCO influx could have us could have Tennessee ready for another step. So just, you know, it's kind of a little long-winded question here, but what do you think about this these JUCO guys?
Yeah, no, great question from Dylan Ball, because the conversation with JUCO guys is even more prominent now that the signing cap has been increased. And there's some really big-time JUCO players in this cycle. And the guys he's talking about, Justin Jefferson, linebacker, Malik Benson, wide receiver, Elijah Davis, defensive lineman, and Will Whitson, defensive lineman. Those are four guys that Tennessee has offered. Jefferson being the latest, he hasn't said a lot, so can't really add a lot about where things are for him. Practice, just like Tennessee is right now, all of those JUCO guys reported back to campus this week and are set to get to work. So, you know, things will probably be quiet there with him for a little bit. But for Davis and Whitson, they were both on campus this past weekend. Tennessee was able to really show them a lot of things throughout the weekend. Davis was here with his whole family. It's going to be important to get him back again for an official visit during the season. We believe that Tennessee's going to be able to. They're battling a handful of guys, a handful of players in this recruitment. Alabama being the top school, in our opinion, that's going to be the biggest threat. He's from South Carolina originally, so can't discount some of those programs over in that direction, but he grew up an Alabama fan, position coach at East Mississippi, is an former Alabama player, so, and the Crimson Tide want him. So all of those things are, you know, working against Tennessee, and when Alabama wants a JUCO guy, that should tell you really how good they are. They don't go down that route a lot, so yeah. You know, Elijah Davis, a big-time defensive lineman. Tennessee, it could not be in a better spot for Will Whitson. Pretty much all I need to say about that. And then Malik Benson, a guy that when you look at the wide receiver board, I think gets forgotten from time to time. But, man, he's got some freaky traits. He can line up anywhere you want on the field. Exceptional down the field, though. Tracks the ball very well. Route trees well-developed. But, again, you're battling some top programs for him. He's coming off a visit to Oregon. He's going to take more visits during, you know, the coming months. We'll see where things go with him. I think the biggest appeal that I've heard on that end is how Tennessee does things with their offense, and I think that's going to be the biggest thing working in their favor for a guy like Malik Benson, but a big-time wide receiver target. So, yeah, absolutely. Tennessee going to have roster turnover. They're going to be able to add a nice mix of JUCO kids if they want to go along with high school kids because of that signing cap change. So I would definitely expect this staff to go JUCO in a few spots, just because it does add those guys that have experience inside of a college program, can provide immediate depth. But traditionally, this staff has liked to do that. They worked really hard on the JUCO front last year, and were, you know, among the final schools for 5-6 guys that all seemed to go to Auburn for some reason. But, you know, they were deep in those recruitments and had a chance, you know, going into to the closing minutes of those things. So, yeah, I would definitely expect Tennessee to be involved heavily in the JUCO recruiting cycle this time around.
All right, sounds good. And moving on, another question from Dylan Ball. Appreciate you throwing some questions in our Discord for us. So he wants to know, where is Tennessee at with the linebacker recruiting? He assumes they're probably in a good spot for T-Lander trailing Georgia for Allen. There's a lot of going on with these linebackers. And of course, it's a position Tennessee has tried to build, you know, recently. So where do you think they're at in the recruiting department with linebackers?
Yeah, you know, so I think obviously T-Lander is a guy that really this staff offered about this time last year coming out of, I think, their first or second high school camp. Today is the first high school camp. So they have had T-Lander on their board for a long time. I like where Tennessee is at for Jeremiah T-Lander. He's a guy that I had a chance to see in the spring. I'll see again soon. He gets it from an IQ standpoint to the physicality standpoint. I think he's what Tennessee really wants to add in the middle of their defense. Has a chance to be a really good three-down linebacker at the college level. Family likes Tennessee a lot. There's connections there through Tim Banks. His dad was an assistant coach at the Division I level. Tim Banks was his graduate assistant back a while ago. So, you know, they have that working in their favor. I think the family likes Tennessee a lot. But, you know, there's still a ways to go in this recruitment. Schools like Florida, North Carolina, and Louisville all have Jeremiah T-Lander up the board as well, and they're continuing to recruit him hard. And he'll take an important slate of official visits this upcoming month, but he will be back to Tennessee. So the Vols will continue to have a chance to show well there. C.J. Allen, the next guy that Dylan Vaughn mentioned, he's a guy that, listen, I have raved about C.J. Allen for a while. I think when you can use the term eraser at the linebacker position, then you're really onto something, and he's an eraser. He can make up for mistakes, you know, whether it be in coverage, whether it be in the run game, you know, a defensive lineman loses their gap integrity, whatever it may be. C.J. Allen is an eraser, and he's just starting to tap into his potential. Now, maybe it's a little bit more of the signing cap changing that has Georgia pushing harder for him. But I was told a few weeks back before the signing cap change that C.J. Allen was a take at Georgia. That's still the case today. So the Vols are going to have to battle hard for the standout from mid-Georgia, as he will be at Georgia for an official visit this weekend. He's set to be back at Tennessee later in the month. He tells me he's still supposed to get to Oklahoma as well. A big-time battle shaping up for C.J. Allen. I think he's one of the better, more underrated players in this class. But again, I think Tennessee has a chance with Allen because they prioritized him for so long, while Georgia's maybe had, you know, their foot just resting on the gas and it not pressed all the way down. I think Tennessee still has a chance to combat some of that momentum that Georgia's trying to pick up right now, get him back for the official visit, show him a lot of attention, and continue to work their way up through that recruitment. He should make a late July or August decision, so we'll see where that is. Cam Robinson, yeah, like you mentioned, only in for the barbecue. By all accounts, everything I've heard out of that end is that he had a good time. He's a guy that I think Tennessee would take right now if he were to choose to commit here. And a guy that has some really nice potential about him. A guy that I think probably is a lot like Allen, maybe not as much to this point anymore in his recruitment as other schools have picked up, but Robinson, a guy that can do a lot of things, that's probably a little bit overlooked in terms of the recruitment. And then, you know, we'll go back to Justin Jefferson. I think Tennessee gets involved there. When you look at what he can do heavily with, you know, the speed, the sideline to sideline ability, the already college ready frame coming out of the JUCO ranks, you have to think Tennessee gets involved heavily in that one. That would be my prediction. So we'll see what happens with him again. It's tough to judge JUCO kids just because it's hard to get them on campus for an official visit during the fall because they're playing. It's hard to get them out here for an unofficial visit at any point because they've got practices going on the same as a college program, you know, a Division I program does. So we'll see what happens with Justin Jefferson, but I think Tennessee's got some time to work their way up in that recruitment. They'll still have Jalen Smith in from Grayson. He's a guy that, you know, I think is a viable target in this class as well. You know, plays at a powerhouse program now, going to have a chance to get in front of a lot of college exposure. So credit Tennessee for getting in that recruitment early on and getting him to campus sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that's good stuff there, Matt. And, you know, talking about, you know, all this being said, I should say, for all these, you know, linebacker recruits, what is the sweet spot number Tennessee needs you know, linebacker recruitment wise, because we know that Tennessee doesn't play a lot of linebackers on the field, you know, most of the time. So what do you think that sweet spot number is Tennessee should be shooting for?
Yeah, you know, I think that's tough. I mean, when you talk about that signing cap coming off, and I think if you're Tennessee, I think if you could get Jefferson, Allen, T-Lander, and maybe in Roma, I think you take four. Mm-hmm. I think realistically, the ideal number is probably three, based on what you have coming and going, who comes back after this season, that type of thing. But I think ideally the number is probably three. Inside linebacker of this cycle could fluctuate either way, depending, I suppose. But I mean, I could see a situation if they could land all four of those guys, I think they would take all four. So you're talking about quickly revamping that position with some guys like with Allen, with some early potential, T-Lander and Robinson, who can develop, and then a guy like Jefferson, who has early potential as well. So I could see a situation where they take four of it. Again, it's all very – I hate to use the term fluid in recruiting because it gets so overused, but it's just ever-changing, I guess, is the right terminology for that.
Right, and how many linebackers – yeah, and this may be a little off topic, but how many linebackers would you expect Tennessee to lose after this season? Because you know Banks is gone, right?
I think Jeremy Banks could come back if he wanted to. I may be wrong on that. Jeremy Banks is gone.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Jeremy Banks is gone. Sorry, I had him confused with Aaron Beasley. Beasley can definitely come back. Salone Page is gone.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think of, like, you know, who could be the top dogs of that position group coming into the fall next year that are returning. You know, like you said, probably Aaron Beasley, but.
Yeah, Aaron Beasley definitely returning next fall. William Mohan's back next fall. Elijah Herron, I think, is going to be running with the twos than later. You know, I really do. I really think he's going to be running with a two. So,
yeah. He impressed at that makeshift spring game they had. Let me tell you,
I may be looking at this wrong, but I think Jeremy Banks can come back for another season.
Would it be his COVID year?
It would be his – he would be a super senior next year if he wanted to. So he was a freshman in 2018, played in 11 games. He saw four actions in 2019. So he redshirted 2020. He was a redshirt sophomore, which was his COVID year. Last year he was a redshirt junior. Yeah. Jeremy Banks could come back for one more year. So that would be a huge boost for Tennessee if it happens. He's able to do so. But he may – you know, if he plays like he did at the end of last year, he'll have a chance to play his way up the draft board. So,
yeah,
we'll see what happens there. But yeah, he could have the opportunity to come back.
Gotcha.
Now, those COVID years are tricky when you start going almost 3 years down the road, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's like, okay, so if the dude redshirted at any point, he has 6 years to work with. So
yeah, if he redshirted at any point, he has 6 years to work with. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So I think this is our last one here, and it's a pretty good last one, I'd say, from Bassmaster Vol, our friend Bassmaster Vol from the Discord. It's talking, you know, pretty big picture here. What does Tennessee need to do on the field to keep the momentum they currently have in recruiting going?
Well, that's a really good question, and I think when you look at it, it goes without saying you don't want to take a step back ever at any football program, and that's exactly what Tennessee needs to do. For me, I think, and I've said this a lot, Josh Heupel and Tennessee are way ahead of schedule right now. When you look back where this program was when he took over, can you imagine, would you have thought that Tennessee was recruiting as high level as they are right now? I wouldn't have. They dealt with a lingering investigation. They dealt with all of these things going on. You know, last one, they still recruited very well. They still landed, you know, some big-time players that you're going to see, you know, contribute this fall.
Yeah.
But then you jump forward, and here they are, and they're ahead of schedule. But when you get ahead of schedule, it comes with expectations, you know, and there's always certain expectations around this Tennessee fan base. But I think it's just about not taking a step back. Make a bowl game. show that you're, you know, still come, you know, heading in the right direction, be in those games that you should be in. Don't get blew out, you know, don't get blown out of games that, you know,
yeah, keep it close with Alabama
early on, you know, and when you look back last year, the scoreboard reflects differently, but Tennessee was in that Alabama game. Like they were giving Georgia all they wanted for 2.5 quarters. The Florida game, you know, you look back to a couple of plays, and they're in that game, you know, in the second half.
And then outside of that,
they're playing through, you know, they're playing ball the way that they're supposed to. You know, you go on the road, you beat a Kentucky team that's pretty good. You go to Missouri and you thrash them. You come, you know, you play South Carolina at home. You black out a noon game, and you are all over them early on in Neyland Stadium. Even it wasn't as full as it has been in years past, but it was rocky, you know. So that type of thing, recruits pay attention to that type of thing. And I think you look back at some of the stuff that Josh Heupel says, they're putting a new age approach on this thing at Tennessee, and that's what they have to continue doing. They're recruiting their ass off right now. I mean, and not for nothing, every almost at every school right now, I talk to coaches at multiple different schools across the SEC, and they will tell you the exact same thing. We are recruiting harder than we have ever recruited. Basically, it's a nuclear arms race. And Tennessee, these guys, that was probably one of the biggest questions for Josh Heupel when he was hired. Everybody knew that offense was going to find a way to score points. I think everybody was, you know, relatively pretty pleased with the defensive hires that he brought in. It was going to be, can he recruit to Tennessee to help them get that next step? And they're recruiting at a phenomenal level right now.
Yeah,
don't take a step forward. Yeah. You don't have to make that huge, massive jump. You don't have to go from, you know, 7 wins to 10 wins. Okay. But find somewhere in between that, you know. You can make that jump. I'm not saying that, oh, you don't make that jump. But to sustain that momentum, just hold where you're at and continue building forward. And I think Tennessee has a really good chance to do that this year. Very winnable games on their schedule. You know, have a chance to go to Pitt and make a statement early on in the season, come back home and get Florida, a very beatable Gators team in year one under Billy Napier. Go on the road to LSU. That's going to be a tougher game, but, you know,
that program's not in the best situation. So
that program hasn't been in the best situation. A lot of roster attrition there. So a lot of winnable games for Tennessee. Take care of business like you did against South Carolina, Missouri, Vanderbilt, and Kentucky. And you're in a position to where suddenly those two games against Alabama and Georgia really matter. Not that they don't always, but they really matter the way that they used to. And when you start playing those meaningful football games on national television, maybe a recruit can't get in the stadium that day. But they're going to, you know, if they're not on the road somewhere else, or they're in a hotel after having visited somewhere else, and they turn that on and they see, you know, you going toe-to-toe with the big boys, then all of a sudden you've got even more momentum on the trail. So I think it's just about competing, staying consistent, and don't take a step back. I know that's probably the easy answer, but I think that's the biggest thing Tennessee has to do.
No, it's a good answer, and you hit the nail on the head on pretty much everything. I mean, I think going to Pittsburgh's very winnable. I think being Florida in Neyland is even more winnable. So, like you said, Georgia and Bama are the only two games where, in my mind, the Vols are going to be slam dunk dogs. You know, like, no doubt about it, they're going to be underdogs going into this game. And, I mean, the South Carolina on the road, I think, could be a little tricky. Depends on how well they're playing, because that's a game late in the season. So, you know, they have a lot of hype with Beamer and Rattler. So, we'll see how that shakes. But, yeah. Tennessee has a good chance to get 8 wins for sure, which is one better than they had last year. And if they can win the bowl game, that's the icing on the cake. All right, Matt. Well, we answered some questions. We had some fun. Anything you want to say before we hop off here?
No, appreciate all the questions. If you had a question this week that we didn't get to, we'll get to it next week. Wednesday's probably going to be mailbag podcast day for at least a little while. You may transition over to Saturday overtime, but right now with camps and everything going on throughout the summer, Wednesday's looking like the set day for at least the summertime So we'll see where we go from there. But appreciate all the questions. Drop them anytime throughout the week. You don't have to wait around. We will get to them over time.
All right. Yeah, it's exciting times of Volunteer Country Podcasting. More. I love it. Tomorrow, Jake and I will be on here talking some baseball, some extensive baseball talk heading into the regional, and probably going to have a guest on to talk little Kennedy Chandler and how he could fit in with the Grizzlies. So it's going to be a fun time here on these airwaves at Volunteer Country on Sports Illustrated. For Matt Ray, I'm Jack Foster. This has been the Wednesday mailbag edition of Volunteer Country on Sports Illustrated podcast. Y'all all have a beautiful start to your June.